Welcome to day 321 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host at Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be reading Acts chapters 4, 5, and 6. And we will continue this amazing journey through the Word of God, listening to how the Holy Spirit made all the difference in the lives of Jesus' disciples. The power that they experienced and the insight that they gained, the revelation that they had, and how God could use them once they had received the Holy Spirit is an amazing testimony and an encouragement for us today. So beginning at Acts chapter 4, we're reading in the Amplified Bible this week, and we are beginning at verse 1. And while they, Peter and John, were talking to the people, the high priest and the military commander of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being vexed and indignant through and through because they were teaching the people and proclaiming, in the case of Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. So they laid hands on them, arrested them, and put them in prison until the following day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, adhered to and trusted in, and relied on Jesus as the Christ. And their number grew and came to about 5,000. Then on the following day, their magistrates and elders and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem, including Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander and all others who belonged to the high priestly relationship. And they set the men in their midst and repeatedly demanded, "By what sort of power or by what kind of authority did such people as you do this healing?" Then Peter, because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and members of the council, the Sanhedrin, if we are being put on trial here today and examined concerning a good deed done to benefit a feeble, helpless cripple, by what means this man has been restored to health, let it be known and understood by all of you and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and in him and by means of him, this man is standing here before you, well and sound in body. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the head of the corner, the cornerstone. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by and in which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been cured standing there beside them, they could not contradict the fact or say anything in opposition. But having ordered the prisoners to go aside out of the council chamber, they conferred, debated among themselves, saying, "What are we to do with these men? For that an extraordinary miracle has been performed by, through them, is plain to all the residents of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread further among the people and the nation, let us warn and forbid them with a stern threat to speak any more to anyone in this name or about this person." So they summoned them and imperatively instructed them not to converse in any way or teach at all in or about the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you and obey you rather than God, you must decide, judge. But we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and heard. Then, when the rulers and council members had further threatened them, they let them go, not seeing how they could secure a conviction against them because of the people. For everybody was praising and glorifying God for what had occurred. For the man on whom this sign, miracle of healing, was performed was more than 40 years old. After they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company and told all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, lifted their voices together with one united mind to God and said, O sovereign Lord, you are He who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said through the Holy Spirit, Why did the heathen Gentiles become wanton and insolent and rage, and the people imagine and study and plan vain, fruitless things that will not succeed? The kings of the earth took their stand in array for attack, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against His anointed Christ, the Messiah. For in this city, there actually met and plotted together against your holy child and servant Jesus, whom you consecrated by anointing both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel, to carry out all that your hand and your will and purpose had predestined, predetermined should occur. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly, while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them, and one by one they brought, gave back the amount received from the sales, and laid it at the feet of the apostles, special messengers. Then distribution was made according as anyone had need. Now Joseph, a Levite and native of Cyprus, who was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which interpreted means son of encouragement, sold a field which belonged to him and brought the sum of money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge and connivance, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit, and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the price from the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control? Why then is it that you have proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing. How could you have the heart to do such a deed? You have not simply lied to men, playing false and showing yourself utterly deceitful, but to God. Upon hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died, and great dread and terror took possession of all who heard of it. And the young men arose and wrapped up the body and carried it out and buried it. Now, after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not having learned of what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, did you sell the land for so much?" "Yes," she said, "for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How could you two have agreed and conspired together to try to deceive the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And instantly she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men, entering, found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And the whole church and all others who heard of these things were appalled. Great awe and strange terror and dread seized them. Now by the hands of the apostles, special messengers, numerous and startling signs and wonders were being performed among the people. And by common consent, they all met together at the temple in the covered porch walk called Solomon's. And none of those who were not of their number dared to join and associate with them, but the people held them in high regard and praised and made much of them. More and more, there were being added to the Lord those who believed, those who acknowledged Jesus as their Savior and devoted themselves to Him, joined and gathered with them, crowds both of men and of women, so that they even kept carrying out the sick into the streets and placing them on couches and sleeping pads in the hope that as Peter passed by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. And the people gathered also from the towns and hamlets around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those troubled with foul spirits, and they were all cured. But the high priest rose up, and all who were his supporters, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and being filled with jealousy and indignation and rage, they seized and arrested the apostles, special messengers, and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and, leading them out, said, "Go, take your stand in the temple courts and declare to the people the whole doctrine concerning this life, the eternal life which Christ revealed." And when they heard this, they accordingly went into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now the high priest and his supporters who were with him arrived and called together the council, Sanhedrin, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have the apostles brought. But when the attendants arrived there, they failed to find them in the jail. So they came back and reported, "We found the prison quite safely locked up, and the guards were on duty outside the doors. But when we opened it, we found no one on the inside." Now when the military leader of the temple area and the chief priests heard these facts, they were much perplexed and thoroughly at a loss about them, wondering into what this might grow. But some men came and reported to them, saying, "Listen, the men whom you put in jail are standing right here in the temple and teaching the people." Then the military leader went with the attendants and brought the prisoners, but without violence, for they dreaded the people, lest they be stoned by them. So they brought them and set them before the council, Sanhedrin, and the high priest examined them by questioning, saying, "We definitely commanded and strictly charged you not to teach in or about this name. Yet here you have flooded Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." the God of our forefathers, raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, cross. God exalted him to his right hand to be prince and leader and savior and deliverer and preserver, in order to grant repentance to Israel and to bestow forgiveness and release from sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and the Holy Spirit is also, whom God has bestowed on those who obey him. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and infuriated and wanted to kill the disciples. But a certain Pharisee in the council, Sanhedrin, named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, highly esteemed by all the people, standing up, ordered that the apostles be taken outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, the council, saying, "Men of Israel, take care in regard to what you propose to do concerning these men. For before our time, there arose Theudas, asserting himself to be a person of importance, with whom a number of men allied themselves, about 400. But he was killed, and all who had listened to and adhered to him were scattered and brought to nothing. And after this one rose up Judas the Galilean, who led an uprising during the time of the census and drew away a popular following after him. He also perished, and all his adherents were scattered. Now in the present case, let me say to you, stand off, withdraw from these men, and let them alone. For if this doctrine or purpose or undertaking or movement is of human origin, it will fail, be overthrown, and come to nothing. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop or overthrow or destroy them. You might even be found fighting against God." So, convinced by him, they took his advice, and summoning the apostles, they flogged them and sternly forbade them to speak in or about the name of Jesus, and allowed them to go. So they went out from the presence of the council, Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were being counted worthy, dignified by the indignity, to suffer shame and be exposed to disgrace for the sake of his name. Yet in spite of the threats, they never ceased for a single day, both in the temple area and at home, to teach and to proclaim the good news, gospel of Jesus, as the Christ, the Messiah. Chapter 6. Now about this time, when the number of the disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily ministration, distribution of relief. So the 12 apostles convened the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not seemly or desirable or right that we should have to give up or neglect preaching the word of God in order to attend to serving at tables and superintending the distribution of food. Therefore, select out from among yourselves, brethren, 7 men of good and attested character and repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may assign to look after this business and duty. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word." And this suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith, a strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte, convert from Antioch. These they presented to the apostles, who after prayer laid their hands on them. And the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And besides, a large number of the priests were obedient to the faith in Jesus as the Messiah, through whom is obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Now Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor, and power, strength and ability, worked great wonders and signs, miracles among the people. However, some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, freed Jewish slaves, as it was called, and of the synagogues of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and the province of Asia, arose and undertook to debate and dispute with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the intelligence and the wisdom and the inspiration of the Spirit with which and by whom he spoke. So they secretly instigated and instructed men to say, "We have heard this man speak, using slanderous and abusive and blasphemous language against Moses and God." Thus they incited the people as well as the elders and the scribes, and they came upon Stephen and arrested him and took him before the council, Sanhedrin. And they brought forward false witnesses who asserted, "This man never stops making statements against this sacred place and the law of Moses, for we have heard him say that this Jesus, the Nazarene, will tear down and destroy this place and will alter the institutions and usages which Moses transmitted to us." Then all who sat in the council, Sanhedrin, as they gazed intently at Stephen, saw that his face had the appearance of the face of an angel. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the very fascinating story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, this story has been a source of consternation for some people, astonishment for others, questioning for others, exactly as to what the meaning of it all was and whether that could still happen today. But essentially, the story of Ananias and Sapphira is a lesson on how gravely we should look at the issue of hypocrisy in our own lives. The story begins with Ananias coming in to see the apostles, as many others had before him, and they had been sharing their wealth with the other brethren by bringing the sale of property, houses, lands, and laying it at the apostles' feet so that they could distribute it to the poor among them. Now, this was something very precious in the sense that people were being moved by the Lord to be generous, to not hold on to their possessions, not to consider things to be their own, but willing to share it with others as the need arose. Now, it's been discussed over the centuries whether this should be a practice of Christian community, that everyone should go and sell everything they have and make a community purse and dispense it to everyone as the need be. But we don't see this anywhere else in Scripture. There are certainly many admonitions to be generous, to give, to take care of the poor, to take care of orphans and widows, but nowhere is it commanded that people should sell everything they have, make a community purse, and dispense the money out of that. We don't see that as a scriptural command of any kind. And in fact, Peter points out to Ananias, wasn't this money, didn't the property belong to you? Didn't you have full control over it? In other words, no one was forcing him to sell his property. That was the point Peter was making. And then he went on to say, "And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control?" Again, pointing out that nobody forced him to bring the money. Nobody commanded him to sell his property. It was completely his own decision to do that. As people were moved to be generous, they did that. But in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, wasn't that they held back part of the money from the land that they sold? The problem was that they pretended to be so holy and so pious that they sold their land and gave it all to the apostles. Essentially, the sin that the Holy Spirit was exposing in Ananias's heart through the apostle Peter was, very simply, the sin of hypocrisy. He was pretending that he sold this land for this amount and gave it all to the apostles. But the truth was he had sold it for a greater amount, kept back part of it, and then pretended that he gave everything to the Lord's work. So that was the sin, pretending to give everything to God when in reality they were holding back. So it wasn't an issue of how much they gave or any of that. It was the fact that they were trying to appear to be one thing when they were really another. And then the fact that the wife was in agreement was clearly discerned by Peter through the Holy Spirit when she came in. She didn't even know her husband was dead. He essentially cross-examined her, asked her straight out, "Did you sell your house for this much?" And she said, "Yep, that's the price we got." And essentially, he said, "How could you agree to try to deceive the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit can't be deceived." And so what was happening here was hypocrisy. People trying to pretend they were more spiritual than they really were. Hypocrisy can manifest itself in multiple ways, but essentially it's the desire of our flesh to be thought of more highly by other people, or more spiritual by other people, or more righteous than we truly are. And it's very disgusting, and God wants that to be purified from the church. And we see this very extreme example of how much God dislikes this issue of hypocrisy, because the church was just being birthed. The body of Christ was just coming into its formation and beginning to march forward here in the early church, right in these opening chapters of the book of Acts. And I believe the Lord wanted to make a very powerful statement that he wouldn't tolerate people pretending to be religious or spiritual when they have no relationship with God whatsoever. One of the most amazing examples of this exact issue to me occurred in the life of Adolf Hitler. You know, Adolf Hitler was very clever in the way that he rallied people around him in the early days before World War II fully broke out. When he was trying to gather people in Germany to his side, he was very fond of using Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessing of the Almighty. He liked to wave his tattered Bible, or someone's tattered Bible. I doubt it was his, actually. He liked to wave this tattered Bible and declare that he drew strength for his great work from it. And literally, he deceived people because he put on a show, a pretend, an act, that he was more spiritual or religious than he actually was. He was literally the master of outward religiosity with no inward reality. What you saw on the outside, what he proclaimed with his mouth, was an act. There was no inward reality of any type of relationship with God, which can clearly be seen by his actions as he moved forward when he gained power and started executing and exterminating the entire Jewish population with the intent of trying to exterminate every Jew on the European continent. Now, that is an extreme example of hypocrisy, because that word, as we mentioned some days back, actually comes from a Greek word that means play actor. But unfortunately, hypocrisy is not limited to people who are the great pretenders, who are essentially con men. This is a sin that easily besets us. It's one that is very common to man. It's something that all of us have to be very careful and watchful over our own hearts. Because isn't it true that all of us would like people to believe that we are deeply spiritual people? That we are more spiritual than we really are, that we pray from before the sun rises until half the day is gone, that we make little comments so people know that we've had time in prayer or fasting or any of that. hypocrisy is trying to appear to other people that you are more spiritual than you are. And God hates that. He hated it so much, he made a very strong statement through Ananias and Sapphira. He let them drop dead when it was exposed that hypocrisy was the spirit that was operating through them. God did not want that in the early church, and he doesn't want it in today's church. Jesus had warned back in Luke 12 that his disciples should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He was telling them, don't let that poison you and end up you are doing the same thing as they are. They were religious men who like to appear religious to other people, who like to make long prayers in public, but their inner life did not match their religious outward exercises. They didn't have a relationship with God, which they were claiming to have by their outward actions. God did not want that same spirit to infect the early church. So as they moved forward, once this very dramatic purging of this spirit of hypocrisy that the Lord did himself, no one but God did that, then we saw immediate power being released that says that miracles and signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. And after that, no one dared to join themselves to these Christians, but the people respected them. It says the people magnified them. They were kind of in awe of them. They saw the power. They saw how truly godly they were. They really did share things in common. No one thought more highly of themselves. That was put to an end. That would humble people on the spot, seeing that particular intense judgment of the spirit of hypocrisy, people trying to look more religious or spiritual than they were. So the Lord really made a strong statement with this incident with Ananias and Sapphira. And the Lord really released increase in power to the church. It says in Acts 5:16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And we heard the story of Peter's shadow just falling on people and them being healed. There was a tremendous release of the power of God after this purging or cleansing of the spirit of hypocrisy. We wonder today why we don't see as much power, signs, and wonders being experienced by the church, although I believe there's been a movement of God and people pursuing God for the power that God promised to us. But I truly do believe that this issue of hypocrisy probably plays into our lack of power in the church today. God certainly cannot bless that and longs for his people to walk in humility and purity of heart with him, because without a doubt, purity always precedes power. So let's just ask the Lord to help us in this area, to give us a true revelation of our own hearts, so that if we are acting or speaking in a hypocritical spirit at any point in our lives, in any time, in church or school or in our workplace, because we know that one of the main reasons that people use as an excuse to not go to church or not to participate in a Christian community is because they are disgusted by the hypocrisy that they have seen. And we don't want to be the cause of anyone to stumble. God bless you and give you a victorious week.